The sound of the screen door slamming never failed to cause a happy lift in her heart that was immediately followed by a sinking, the opening of a small, empty place. Maggie could almost hear her son the way he had been once, always running, always dirty from soccer, or riding his bike and getting into God knows what around the neighborhood. He'd be hungry or thirsty, would head directly to the refrigerator. "Mom, I want a snack." He was loving then, ready to hug her or kiss her, not yet like his friends, who were even then slinking away from their mother's embraces, bearing their kisses as if they were vaccinations. He'd laughed easily. He was a clown, wanting her to laugh too. Those days weren't so long ago, when her son was still Ricky, not Rick. But that little boy was as far gone as if he'd gotten in a spaceship and flown to the moon. Ricky walked into the kitchen, standing a full head taller than she, clad in black from head to toe, a pair of jeans, a carefully ripped and tattered tank, high-laced Doc Martens boots, though the autumn air was unseasonably hot. Nearly stifling, she thought, but that might just be her hormones. She was used to the silver hoop in his nose, almost thought it was cool. "Hey, Mom." "Hi, baby." He started opening cupboards. She tried not to stare. She'd been standing at the counter, leafing through a catalog packed with junk no one needed. Out of the corner of her eye, she watched it. Yesterday, he'd come home with a tattoo, some kind of abstract tribal design that spanned the length of his upper arm. It was hideous. And it wasn't done. There was just an outline with no color. It would take several more appointments to complete, and he had to earn the money to pay for it. She certainly wasn't going to pay for him to mutilate himself, not that he'd asked for money. The skin around the ink looked raw and irritated, shone with the Vaseline he had over it for protection. The sight of it made her sick with grief. All she could think of was how pure and unblemished, how soft and pink his baby skin had been, how his wonderful body, small and pristine, used to feel in her arms, how she'd kiss every inch of him, marveling at his beauty. When she was a new mom, she'd felt like she couldn't pull her eyes away. Now she cast her eyes back at her catalog quickly, not wanting to look at her own son, at what he'd seen fit to do to his beautiful body. The fight they'd all had yesterday was over. Everything she needed to say, she'd said. He would be 18 in 3 weeks. His body wasn't her responsibility anymore. "You have no right to control me," he'd spat at her. "I'm not a child." He was right, of course. That's what hurt most of all. "Not a big deal, Mom," he said, reading her mind. He was riffling through the mail on the counter. "Lots of people have tattoos." "Ricky," she said, but she felt the heat rise to her face. But instead of saying anything else, she released a long, slow breath. It was a thing, like so many things, that could never be undone. It would be on him forever. Maybe she'd stop seeing it, like his hair, which was always a different color, jet black today. He walked over and kissed her on the head. "Not a baby, Mom," he said. "Always my baby, Ricky," she said. He tried to move away, but she caught him and gave him a quick squeeze, which he returned. "Rick," he said. He turned away from her and headed to the refrigerator. "Always Ricky," she said. She knew she was being silly and stubborn. He had a right to say what he wanted to be called, didn't he? Hadn't she taught him to speak up for himself, to establish his boundaries, to have respect for himself? "Mom." One word. It was a gentle admonishment, as well as a request that she lighten up a bit. She smiled and felt some of her tension dissolve. No matter how sad, how angry she was, she and her son had the kind of chemistry that made it difficult to fight. They were as likely to dissolve into laughter as they were to slam doors or raise their voices. Unlike the chemistry Ricky had with his father. When her husband and son fought, she understood why world peace was impossible, why people wouldn't someday just learn to get along. "How's the band doing?" she said. A change of subject would do them both good. "Not great. Charlene and Slash had a fight," She smashed his guitar. He can't afford another one. We don't have any gigs lined up anyway. We might be taking a break. Who's Slash? You know, Billy Lovett. Oh, Billy of the golden hair and sea-green eyes, the charmer, the star soccer player, once upon a time the heartthrob of the fourth grade. He and Ricky were both seniors getting ready to graduate, unrecognizable by those fourth-grade pictures, taken when sunlight seemed to shine from their very pores. Now they looked more like they slept in coffins during the daylight hours. That Billy wanted to be called Slash was a new development.